in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
They refuse to stop winning.
Who's they?
You know who I'm talking about.
I know.
Your Milwaukee Brewers.
They're
10 in a row, big guy. 10 yeah. in a row.
Yep. Burgers. Burgers would be when.
Today's the tough Well, today's the tough one. You got Skeens on the mound.
Who cares? They can't hit.
Yeah.
What was the score last night?
7-1.
Like I said, they can't hit.
Pirates had a grand total of 3 hits.
Yeah, I'm not.
Again, it's Paul Skeens.
So who goes in the game after?
For the Pirates?
No, who? I wouldn't even know. Kent DeColvey. I don't know. Who cares? You say a name, I won't even know. I'm saying for the Brewers.
So you have Freddie. Again, they had flipped things around. So Freddie goes up against Skeens today. And then if all goes well, then it's Woody. Brandon Woodruff.
Is that a day game?
Day game. 1:10.
Yeah. Are you a little fair weather? I think you are. I think all you are.
I think you're just trying to make us like you.
I don't think I'm fair weather.
I mean,
I think you realize you're missing the boat now.
No.
And you're trying to throw accusations wildly.
I'm like running the relay and I'm the last guy to run. I'm going to watch at some point in time. It's just the second guy is running right now. So I'm just stretching.
As far as analogies go, I feel like that's probably one of your better ones.
Which is fair.
Like, he's on the team, Josh. He's just, it's not his turn to run yet.
No, he's rooting against it because he wants to laugh at us not getting burgers. We all know the truth.
No, no, no. This time I didn't know they were a sponsor. Now let me workshop that.
Give you a moment to think about it. But again, so just weird things continue to happen. And I guess this isn't even weird. But just funny things. Like Andrew Vaughn, who we seemingly talk about every day because he's driving in a run just about every game for the Brewers, did it a little differently last night in terms of driving in his run as he squeezed home a run. Squared up to bunt, threw one down the first base side, runner scores from third, sack bunt for our guy, Big Andy Vaughn.
Yeah. Good pickup.
But here's the funny part. He's not sure if he's ever bunted in a major league game. Here's what he said after the game.
How many times have you executed that play in the big leagues?
I don't think any. I think that was my first time.
Can you remember the last time you actually tried dropping down a bunt?
No.
When was the last time you practiced a bunt?
Every day in BP.
Okay, all right.
Dude never bunts. It just squares up and lays one down last night to squeeze in a run.
Hey, the more you can do.
Squeeze in a run.
How did he get here? Who was the pitcher that complained and
Aaron
why?
Aaron Civale.
And why did he complain?
Because
Miz?
So he was going to be relegated out of the starting rotation, and he wanted to be a starter. He is set to be a free agent, so yep. He felt it was easiest to maximize his value if he went somewhere where he could be a starting pitcher. So the Brewers promptly traded him to the Chicago White Sox.
So he did not fit in Murph's.
That's correct.
Coaching.
Yeah.
Little self-praise.
Just, yeah. And again, like, everybody is bought in. That's the only way this thing for the Brewers works.
Yeah.
If 1 through 26 is bought in, and Civale wasn't, Andrew Vaughn, since he's been called up, because he was in AAA when the Brewers acquired him.
Yeah.
Like, he was so bad, again, going back to what he was for the White Sox, he was so bad for the White Sox that they had given up on him and sent him down to AAA.
But there's a little bit of fate there. The gods are kind of on our side. If he didn't complain, he would have never left, and we would have never got Vaughn. And
that's correct.
That's why I think Aaron Civale deserves the key to the city.
I would agree. And Craig Counsell.
Do you think he would show up? Do you think Civale would show up? Or we would probably have to do that with him in absence.
Maybe you have Andrew Vaughn accept it. I don't know. Andrew Vaughn, when asked about getting Aaron Civale a Christmas gift, he didn't find that very funny. I believe Cameron Maben did that on
the Foul Territory.
Yeah,
that show.
He doesn't seem too thrilled with that. I don't know how to read Andrew Vaughn. That guy's he's as flat as can be.
This, you know what? It's not flat. His bat.
Well, it was
launching dingers.
It was yesterday.
It could be. Lay down that bad boy. Lay down that bunt.
Which,
yeah, but if the bat was flat, it'd be better. It'd be easier to hit the ball.
Yeah, it would be.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That. Yep. But you'd be playing cricket instead.
Feels like that would hurt too.
What?
Like the vibration of a flat bat?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I don't know if it'd hurt worse than.
Yeah, then if you get like jammed with a regular bat, like if you break then your why bat, does, hit one off the logo, something like that.
Why does an aluminum bat hurt much more than a wooden bat when you hit it wrong?
Because the wooden bat will break, and that kind of absorbs a lot of it. You know, like if you get jammed, it'll break, whereas the aluminum bat won't. Okay. And then you
it
get
just
those
sends the vibrations.
You
to your
get
hands.
Those vibrations into your hands, and then on a cold day, you don't feel your hands for about three innings.
Are you going
Good
to
luck.
Today's game?
I am not going to today's. I am going to tomorrow's.
Why wouldn't you go to today? Today's a good game.
Yeah, because I wasn't even planning on going yesterday. Like I had tickets. So my mother is retired. Well, my dad's retired now too.
Yeah.
Shout out to my dad,
Keith.
Who does not like parties, by the way.
Oh, no. Well.
He doesn't.
What does that mean?
Well, so we threw my dad a retirement party on Sunday. His last official day was Thursday, uh-huh. So we were, you know, and it wasn't anything big. It was just me, my sisters, their kids, and then, like, his brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, who still live in the Wisconsin area. So we had a little gathering, smoked a pork shoulder, had a little pulled pork for the meal, and he said during this, not that he wasn't grateful or thankful that everyone had gotten together, but he just felt like, well, why are we throwing a party? I feel like I quit something. Like this doesn't feel right.
That's right up my alley. Right up my alley. Me and Keith are in lockstep. Is it Keith?
Mark is his real name.
Jason calls him
Jason,
Keith.
Jason accidentally called him Keith.
I should have known that probably. His name was Mark. That's like me. When I die, I don't want to be sad. I'm going to put like a couple $1,000 in the will to say, hey, drinks are on me. Have a blast. Tell stupid stories about me.
Yeah.
Well, retirement, you've done it once. You talk about your retirement from this
just
job.
Say this. I've never been retired. Just because my wife says I've been retired for 30 years doesn't mean I've been retired. Okay? Just because I don't have to apply for jobs and things like that and go through the interview process does not mean I am retired.
Okay, I'll go with you. So what do you qualify yourself as?
A grinder.
All right,
I know this is fake to a lot of people, but Josh, when you got to wake up at 4:50 in the morning,
I
that's not fake.
I wake up at 4 in the morning, and I'm happy to do it. We're very lucky to do our jobs. I've done a lot of other jobs, as have you, that aren't nearly as fun as this one we get to do for 2 hours every single day and hopefully entertain people.
Now, if I decide to take a nap at 1 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you happen to text me because I've been up for 8 hours already, that shouldn't be a problem, should it?
Look, I don't think so, but also what you're describing is the life of a retired man.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I mean, again,
it's just
so,
my clock's a little different.
So my dad was already talking about getting a part-time job, mm-hmm. right? Then that's what this is for you. You're just a retired guy. This is your part-time. Instead of greeting people at Walmart, you're greeting me and Joshy and, you know, getting made fun of
where
for 2 hours
wrong,
every day.
Where you're wrong is the text chain makes it full-time. And the fact that, okay, sports are pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, boy. He just realized.
I watch him sometimes.
Okay. I was about to say. He was about to say something.
All right, let me ask you
realized,
this.
Like, oh, wait.
Gabe,
yes,
let me
sir?
Ask you this.
Yep, yep, yep.
When you watch a Packer game, is that work?
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I watch the Packers with a more critical eye than I would before this job. And I pay more attention to, like, storylines. Whereas in the past, I would go to a bar with my friends, have a good time, and I might miss a defensive drive. That's not happening anymore.
No.
Okay, which brings us to this point, though. Can it be work if you're drinking wine while watching the game?
See, I think if our bosses were to look at Gabe and I and say, It's fine for you to drink a bottle of wine during the first half. I don't think that was the same rule would apply to Chewy. They don't want us doing that. I guess they can't control us what we do in our free time.
You got to go on the air, don't you?
Before.
Well, before. Yeah. So, like, last year, not that I was getting, like, hammered and blacked out drunk, but, you know, I might enjoy a champagne, a beer.
Sure. Yeah.
During the game.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing that, I don't know if I can go, yeah, that's work.
If that's I'm watching. Let me tell you what. I used to work for Massachusetts DPW.
They're having some bevvies?
These guys were getting hammered. Okay.
Yeah.
Driving around in the truck picking up trash.
Think of a sales job ever.
Yes.
That's fair.
Okay.
Boozing all the time. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
So, no, I'm not retired.
You're more retired than employed.
I disagree. That's close.
Considering the text chain work is out of control. You send something in there that isn't picking on me or Gabe like once a week, maybe.
But that's part of the show, right?
I mean, typically, I feel like you'll binge the text chain.
Yes.
Because you kind of ignore it. And then there's about a 15-minute window every day where we've got your attention.
I shine in the text chain on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah, after gummy and two bottles of wine.
That's your best. Unfortunately for the listeners, that's your best work. Although maybe fortunately for the show, it's also kept
for our
behind.
Jobs,
correct.
Sorry.
It's
so I am.
That's kept behind.
I consider myself on call. I'm on call.
The one time you were on call, you fell asleep.
Yeah, but that was late.
Yeah. See, being on call means that you would be ready to jump on air at any given moment. And the fact of the matter is, when that clock hits 8:57:50, you're not on call until 7:01 the next day.
Chewy, there is a unwritten rule here, and this might be something you learn about as I say it, that we're not to contact you after 5 p.m. because we know what happens after 5 p.m.
I won't respond. I'll read it, not respond, unless it's a Friday or Saturday. But after, I will not look at my phone after 7.
I'm saying if we want to get you on the air for any reason, I remember during Skeletal and Brust, some of the other shows that run later, it's, hey, if you want them, it's got to be earlier in the afternoon.
Yes, yes. Because I know, you know, everyone has a beep to their text.
Yeah.
If it goes beep, and then 20 seconds later, beep, beep, I know it's you guys. And I'll sit there and go, on the couch, I'll be like, I don't have the strength. I just don't have the strength to get up and go look at the phone.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
A retired person.
You're right.
I'm just saying, like, you're making your own case against yourself. I don't know how you consistently do that, but
another job that's considered like not a job?
I mean, I have been told by friends that I don't have a real job for a long time.
So have I.
But here's the thing though, like, I see how you walk around now. Like, football's a real job with later in life consequences to your body.
Why? You've noticed that? My wife said it to me last night.
Well, I mean, you're a little stiffer.
Hobble?
A little bit. I mean, your knee's been bothering you.
Really?
Again, it's not like super. Because I see you every day, I feel like it becomes a little more noticeable. Like, if I hadn't seen you for a month, probably wouldn't notice.
But comparatively, it's good. Because if you watch Frank and you watch all the guys I played with.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's bad. But I'm just saying that football did some damage to your body. And that I would say that football is a real job.
I'm getting a little sick of working out, too. Is working out overrated?
Really?
It's just like you do the same thing. It's just like
I thought that was part of the stability in your life, the routine.
Yeah, but it gets like anything. I mean, people that fish all the time got to be like, I'm sick of fishing. This is kind of catch it and throw it back. What the hell is that all about?
Have you ever felt that way about golf?
No.
Why?
Because I love it.
Stupid.
Again, people think I'm crazy. So I do the 100 holes for the Mac Fund every year. It's always on a Thursday. Play 100 holes. Chances are, I think there's only one time where I haven't played golf the next day.
What if somebody... you shoot a bad round? You want to go back the next day and play again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get that bad round out of you. But I've been playing terribly lately. I'm looking forward to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, going up to the Island Resort and Casino and playing 72 holes in 3 days.
You'll get there because you'll get ADD and you'd be like, you'll be at 8 holes and you'd be like, get me out of here.
I don't know if that's going to happen to him.
No.
You have a miraculous ability to take something that happens to you and think everyone else experiences the same.
Yeah. You're not going to want to hear
it
this.
It doesn't? What?
You know who else does that?
Who?
The Home Slice.
Homer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had to, me and some of the producers we worked with back in the day on Homer and Gabe had to explain to Homer about how just because something he experienced doesn't mean it's something that everybody experienced.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Like to project things that specifically happened to you onto other people.
I think you guys will get there. Huh?
I don't. There is an older gentleman that I have played with like a handful of times at Brown Deer Park.
Yeah.
He literally plays every day. Like, he's out there every day. He is retired. That's what he does every day. He goes out and he plays golf at Brown Deer.
Yeah, but old people just want to talk to other people. I don't want to talk to anybody. Would you agree?
And this was a weird thing to do for your part-time job while you're retired. Because you just talk for 2 hours.
Yeah, and I'm talked out for the day.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
So I'm good.
Because, I mean, you talk to Joshy, me, and Jen every day.
Yeah.
And that's good? You're good with that?
I think I have...
It kind of gets it out.
A threshold of words that I need to get to.
I think Angie would be concerned if you weren't doing this because now you actually just get to interact with people instead of just watching Ice Road Truckers.
So you're saying if I don't do this, I go to the gym, I'll talk a lot more to people in the gym. I'm spending 3 hours in the gym because there are people that go to the gym and spend three hours.
They just go around, they're not working out, and they're just chatting to people.
They try to eyeball you and talk to you, you know?
Ever thought about wearing sunglasses so they can't make eye contact? Be that guy wearing sunglasses in the gym?
Well, I could go with the earbuds, but the problem is you got to carry your phone around in your pocket, and that is so annoying.
They probably don't make a bicep band to put your phone in.
I guess I could just put the earbuds in and just listen to nothing and pretend that I am just like shake my head. Like, what are you listening to? Nothing?
Steely Dan?
Yeah.
That would always be the answer. We got to get to Jason Wilde because there are some Packers news and notes that we need to get to from yesterday's practice that was only open to the media. We will talk to Wilde about that coming up next. But I do want to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When you want long-lasting comfort and reliability, it's easy to trust Pella. Every piece specifically instructed for you and your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality performance to last for years, and built to create long-term energy savings. We just got our new front door last Wednesday, installed right there in the front. I love it. I love the way it looks. Really makes everything look that much better. And I loved going through the process with Pella, making sure we had the right color for a front door, making sure it was going to go with everything that we wanted. And of course, it's a much better front door than we had before, so we're getting those energy savings. If you order by August 31st, get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, dudes. How are we doing?
What's up, bro, Chacho?
Luscious. Jason, question for you. We'll get right into it.
Because I don't want to hear that luscious again.
Is Elton Jenkins' negotiation over? Because I would think he gained a little leverage with the fact that Jacob Monk really can't play football.
Jacob Monk certainly can't play guard. it appeared, and it looked like, and I was talking to Sean Ryan yesterday about this. I still think Sean Ryan is fine at guard, but at center, like, he got beat on the sack that caused the fumble, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the touchdown. Like, and he was saying, you know, I just have to, and look, again, your boy Frankie, who I saw at practice last week, 2 weeks ago, and I asked him if he was going to come see you, but it was out of his way, so he wasn't going to come. You know, he would know this as well as anybody. That split second of snapping the football makes all the difference in the world in terms of getting your hands on mm-hmm. your guy and everything else. And Sean Ryan, despite having, you know, worked there in camp extensively, did not do a very good job of that by his own admission. And so now you're looking at Elton and going, boy, there are two backup options are less than stellar. Maybe you should have just taken care of the guy, but no, I don't think he's going to pull a Sterling.
Yeah.
And decide to hold out on the eve of the opener, but he would be justified in doing so, I would argue.
Yeah.
He would certainly have a case, but no, I think that ship has largely sailed, and I think what they basically told him was, look, you get off to a good start and we can have a conversation about doing something. Because remember, and Gabe, you said this, and you know, I've seen Justice Mosqueda and some other people on the Twitter machine say this, and I'm kind of like, yeah, no kidding. I know. This is not about cash. It's about structure for him. And I think he understands who he works for. So, which is exactly why he wanted to do what he did with his contract. Like, he's ready to finish his career somewhere else. Pretty much every Packer in this era is going to have to face that reality. You know, there aren't going to be a lot of third contracts so you can play your entire career with one team. So he gets it. But, you know, this was the argument all offseason. And they don't want him to be on the roster next year with a $24 million cap
mm-hmm.
number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either figure out something else or just not have him on the roster at all. And right now, based on what we saw from one preseason game, which is not the end-all, be-all, they don't have an option behind him that you should feel good about right now.
I do want to get into the preseason game, Jason, and I guess the head coach's philosophy behind it. But first, I feel it's more important to ask about Jaden Reed. How concerned should I be, and how much more information do you expect to get as to why he's in a walking boot when Goody and LaFleur talk later today?
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be concerned at all because you've been very clear on how you don't feel like this team and this coaching staff values him. But I think this is probably a good thing, frankly, for him to kind of remind this team that he does have value and he is an important piece. And, you know, I don't think they have anyone quite like him, right? I mean, we all are enamored with Matthew Golden and his skill set, and there's no doubt about it. He is a talented cat. You know, I did go to Jaden Reed as directed by one Gabriel Bartholomew Neitzel, and after family night say, hey, you know, have they pigeonholed you as a slot guy? And he said, I don't think so. But then he said, it feels like that a lot though, which I thought was honest of him. But you know, that was the night that, what did you have him as? 10 snaps and they were all at
all in the slot.
In the slot.
Yep.
Yeah. He did say that he has played outside more this camp than he ever had before in the previous two camps. So I said, what does that mean? Do you feel like they're gonna use you more out there? And he said, well, you would think so, because they're practicing me out there more. And then obviously he had this foot thing come up. So I don't know, to be clear, I don't know what exactly is wrong. He was very evasive.
That's what makes me worry, Jason. The fact that everybody is not being forthcoming is what makes me nervous.
Maybe it's just a bunion and he's embarrassed.
Maybe he's got gout.
Well, I can certainly identify with dealing with a foot issue, and I'm on a limited return to play today. I'm going to be at practice, so But I'm going to have to be very careful with how quickly I walk to and from Reinitschke Field. And I think there might be some rain today, so that could also complicate my walk. I'm going to try and wear real shoes, so I'm excited about that. But look, I still think he's a more important piece than maybe we feel like he is based on how he was utilized last year. I go back to what LaFleur said, and that was, you know, that he was really banged up at the end of the season. And I think we've seen him, right? I mean, it always feels like he's dealing with something. And LaFleur's point was, if we can take some of these hits that he absorbs off of him with some of the stuff that they use him as, like, he's, for example, pigeonholing him as a slot guy or sending him around on jet sweeps to get blasted by a linebacker on the edge if he doesn't get the corner on him. I mean, that's not that's adding to what he deals with. Whereas, you know, I'm not saying you can't get hurt running an outside route, because you certainly can, but it's less frequent than if you're in the slot and you're basically bracing on your little, you know, dig route or whatever it might be, that you're going to get whacked. So I think they can do some things to make things better for him. I do think he's an important piece of what they do, but I don't know what his timeline is going to be. I would argue that he's going to be, he didn't sound like he was concerned about playing in the opener. It sounded more like he was trying to avoid telling us what was actually wrong. But again, that is purely conjecture on my part.
Jason, my takeaway from the game, and I know it's preseason, but my takeaway is this. If you have one of the better rosters in the NFL, you don't get blown out like that. Because your number two, if you have one of the best rosters or top 10 or whatever you're going to call it, your backups are supposed to be pretty damn good. So, and I know it's preseason, but are we overvaluing this roster, or were they just not ready to play?
No, well, first of all, maybe both, right? Those aren't mutually exclusive. And yes, I mean, I've been around long enough now to know that back in the good old days of the Three Amigos, you guys had such a good roster. You guys won in the preseason all the time because your twos and threes were just far superior to other teams' twos and threes. And that's definitely not the case now, which, you know, again, there's nobody other than maybe Xavier McKinney, who has been a bigger Bo Melton fan than me, probably Bo's brother and his parents. But like when he's, not only was he kind of next man up at corner once they pulled the starters, but on top of that, like, he was one of the guys that got the rest of the night off fairly quickly. Like, that tells you where he's at on the roster. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way toward him, but he's not that far from having to play in a real game at corner, right? So that just isn't super terrific for how you've built your roster. So again, you know, they believe in their philosophy. Goody was very clear after the 2023 season that solidified for him that you play young guys, you deal with the growing pains, you deal with them struggling, so you can, by the end of the season, they are real NFL football players. Well, if that's your philosophy, then they're going to be pretty crummy in preseason, right? A lot of these young guys that are playing. So, again, this is what he believes. Maybe it will bear fruit and they'll win a Super Bowl this year or next year, and we'll all be saying how this is the new money ball for football and this is the really smart way to go. But again, I'm going to reserve judgment on that because I'm still a skeptic.
Well, as far as the preseason game goes, Jason, how upset can Matt LaFleur really be with his team when, over the course of his time as the head coach of the Packers, he's shown that these games aren't that important? He doesn't play his starters. They want to take the approach of it's more important to be healthy than to be necessarily as ready as you possibly can be. So when the team, especially the starters, don't prepare themselves to be ready for that, like, how upset can he actually be when they're just taking their cues from him and how important preseason games are?
It's a great question. I did find myself wondering if he was being theatrical about how angry he was. I mean, when I'm the calming voice of reason in a press conference, you know, we're off the rails a little bit. Like I mean, you can hear it in the clip. I literally say to him, man, I know you're pissed, but, and he cuts me off, because, which is usually a good strategy, because obviously my questions aren't exactly short, but like, you're missing your top three wide receivers. You don't have McKinney. You don't have Hobbs. Like, can we really make any major judgments on your ones when you play that way? Like, I'm sorry, I don't think so. Yeah, Romeo dropped the ball. Heath dropped the ball. I had him for four total drops. Like that,
Hardman had a drop.
Yeah, Hardman had quite the evening. There's no doubt about that. But again, whether he was acting or it was authentic, he was, I thought, way more pissed off than I was anticipating. I don't quite understand what he was going for there. And then, you know, he talked, I couldn't believe he said this to us on Sunday, that his plan was play the starters, have them do the joint practice on Thursday in Indy, but not play in the game, and then have them do the joint practice and play in the game the following week with Seattle. And is he going to play them now in Indy, even though he planned not to? Because I'll say this, like, if he's that mad that he's going to change his plan with that and put those guys at risk in a game that he wasn't originally intending to play him in, and somebody suffers a serious injury, there's going to be hell to pay, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. he's going to be criticized like nobody's business. So I would hope that the overreaction does not lead to him doing something that he wasn't intending on doing, because to me, that's a recipe for trouble.
Jason, what kind of camp is Kraft having? Because I don't know, there hasn't been a lot of chatter.
Yeah, kind of quiet, but you know, we know who he is, right?
Yeah.
It just feels different than last year when Musgrave had a quiet camp after he was, like, as Ron Wolf would say, the girl with the curl that everybody was paying attention to in his first camp. Like, remember when we were, like, one of the topics was how he ran, like, at a higher miles per hour than any other yeah. player on the mm-hmm. roster. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
In 23. You know, he's just a – I'm not saying he's just a guy, but from a camp perspective, like, you're not – your eyes aren't drawn to him. And in Tucker Kraft's case, you know, I wasn't at practice yesterday, but I know he, you know, slipped and fell on a what would have been a touchdown catch. So I don't know if it was intercepted or just broken up. But, you know, I think he kind of knows who he is. They know what he is. He played like 85% of the snaps last year. So I think what they've done is kind of devoted some extra time to some of the other guys at tight end, to find out more about Ben Sims, to find out more about John Fitzpatrick. And so I don't think it's any reason for concern, but there definitely has not been any buzzing or gushing mm-hmm. During gush season about it.
And then lastly, Jason, before we let you go, Jordan Love, left thumb injury, apparently, with it being taped up yesterday at practice. Not really a high level of concern, right? Because it's the non-throwing hand.
Well, yes and no. Like, and again, Jordan didn't talk yesterday,
yeah.
and he didn't even come in the locker room, because I wanted to, I was going to grab him as he walked through and say, hey, how much of a concern should this be for those of us that are writing about it? But he didn't even come through, because look, it does matter, right? Like, there are handoffs mm-hmm. that you hand off with the left hand, and he did it with his right hand, according to those that were there. So yeah, that, to me, that is an issue. Again, I do find it humorous that Brett Favre played with a broken thumb on his throwing hand twice, and he was the ultimate Iron Man and the ultimate tough guy, and Rodgers broke his thumb in London in 2022, and all we did was say, boy, he sucked in 22. So I don't understand it. And now we like Jordan, so now we're very worried about his left thumb, which is not left-handed. But I don't get the sense that they're overly worried, but again, you saw Rob Domofsky's picture after practice. I mean, if it's Matt LaFleur and Nate Weir and Flea and Love is there flexing his left hand after practice. I'm sorry, that's at least some concern. The head coach and the athletic trainers don't hang out after practice to look at the quarterback's hand if they're not a little bit worried about it.
Yeah, which is fair. And also makes me think he's not going to play this weekend with the Packers in Indianapolis.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Jason, appreciate it. Look forward to hearing more from you. Will the Intouch coming up 9 a.m. this morning here on ESPN Milwaukee.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Cheez-It, the legendary snack cracker. It is now available as a frozen pizza. I finally got my hands on one of these bad boys a week ago. Had one last week. It's exactly what you think it is. It's in a square because, I mean, it has to be, right? It's Cheez-It. And you get the Cheez-It flavored cracker crust, square-shaped, ultra-thin, super crispy. In fact, it's the crust is so thin, it only takes 8 minutes to bake. And then you get that Cheez-It flavor. I had the pepperoni, but you can also get the Cheddar Jack Supreme Italian four cheese. It's exactly what you're looking for. Whatever you're picturing when it comes to eating a Cheez-It frozen pizza, it's exactly that. Because the cracker, it tastes exactly like it. In fact, my favorite little parts of it, kind of, you know, when you're making a frozen pizza, the outside crust, like right on the edge, gets just that little bit more firm than everything else. Oh, it was just that perfect Cheez-It flavor when you were eating that crust. Can't recommend it. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section. Cheez-It frozen pizza from our friends at Palermo's.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
the heebie-jeebie,
right?
Heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar and he puts a curse on you?
Look, stupid. I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Usually list season in the NFL is before camp opens. But Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN.com put together his own list, and he did this last year as well. He is ranking NFL quarterbacks by trait. He picked seven different skills: arm strength, ball placement, mechanics, decision-making, pocket presence, rushing ability, and second reaction creativity. These top 10 lists based on current performance and expectations for the 2025 season. How he would rank the quarterback group at that moment. Where do you think Jordan Love finished in the top 10 out of those seven?
Well, he's on the list because Orlovsky eventually wants to be quarterback coach in Green Bay, and he's guys with LaFleur. So I'm going to say he probably put him at seven or eight.
So there's seven, and how many?
Oh, okay.
So it's seven. Top 10. So yeah, it's top 10 at seven different. So it's not an overall.
Seven categories.
Seven categories.
Arm strength.
Yes.
And
so it's not.
Presence.
So there's top 10 at arm strength, top 10 at ball placement, right, top 10 at mechanics, top 10 decision making.
Do you want me to answer how I would answer or how Orlovsky would answer?
How many lists in the top 10 is Jordan Love on? Of
probably
the seven?
Four.
One.
Really? So he told the truth this time.
He is number 10 in arm strength.
Yeah.
And that is it.
See, I thought he'd be off the list on arm strength just because even though he's better at the deep ball, he's still not great at it.
So for me, again, this is Dan Orlovsky writing. For me, arm strength, less about airing out the 60-yard pass, although it's part of the equation, and more about driving the football on a rope when it's necessary. I'm talking about tight windows, 15 to 20 yards downfield. You need a strong arm to get the ball there on time with these.
Now, LaFleur helps him out because he schemes, or especially early in the year, schemes a lot of guys open, which turn out to be very, very large plays, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 10? That might be fair.
He's number 10 in arm strength.
That might be fair.
But does not appear in the top 10 in ball placement, mechanics, decision-making, pocket presence, rushing ability, or second reaction.
That's probably fair. Although I think he'll be better. I think they're going to make it a point of emphasis for him to tuck it and run. Because all your top quarterbacks do it. All of them. Lamar, Allen, Who else am I missing? Hurts.
Yeah.
Right?
So the top 10 there, Lamar, Hurts, Allen, Daniels, Fields, Mahomes, Murray, Herbert, Purdy, and Caleb Williams are the top 10.
I mean, he should rushing be better than there. Purdy, right?
Probably on plane with Purdy, yeah. I would say.
I think that'll be a point of emphasis, which it should be.
But, I mean, it just comes back to the conversation we're constantly having about Jordan Love. And he just needs to be better. He needs to be in all these things. He's proven he's a good quarterback, but now he needs to find himself. Again, not that he would have to be like Josh Allen, who I believe finds himself in every one of these top 10 lists. But you need to be on more than one. If the Packers want to go where they want to go, Jordan Love has to be top 10 in more than one of these traits. Yeah, not all seven, but you got to be, again, because that means he's playing better, he's more consistent.
Go through him again. And I'll tell you if he has a chance at being in the top 10.
Okay, so arm strength, he's already there.
Yes.
Ball placement.
That's easy. That's just mechanics. That's coaching, but you have a new coach. You're leaving a coach that's been there for a handful of years in Clemens, and then there is a transition because when I went from Andy Reid to Mike Sherman, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do the same things. Coaches don't like the same drills. So there is kind of a grace period there, and either you get better or you don't.
Mechanics.
That's coaching.
Decision-making with the football.
I mean, it's all coaching, but a lot of that is looking at yourself in film study, you know? Because there were things as a player that I knew it wasn't my deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could run it till the cows come home. It just didn't feel natural to me. I didn't like it. So you do away with it. So he can get help there. But a lot of that is film study and putting in the time.
Pocket presence.
Third year as a starter, we should expect him to be better in that area.
I feel like the last two are kind of tied together, rushing ability and second reaction ability. To me, that's again,
I don't think his second reaction ability. I think you can't get out of his stupid plays last year where they were second. What do you call it? Second reaction?
Second reaction.
Remember the one where it was a second reaction and he panicked in the end zone?
Yeah.
Picked off, and then there was another one in the season. So I think that's scarring them a little bit.
Yeah, again, but I feel like the rushing ability and second reaction are tied to the knee from a year ago, and I just expect it to be better this year. You know what I'm saying?
Like
he didn't want to leave the pocket, extend plays, because he also didn't want to extend plays by running the football. Two skills are pretty tied together.
But the rushing, you can't blame him.
No,
because they're probably telling them to stand on the pocket, where now they should be like, hey, you recognize it's man and it's third and six,
yeah,
and you don't like anything, or I'll put it this way, you don't love anything, you might like it, but you see it's man and you got to get, just run.
Yeah.
Run, do the sure thing, because this team, and it's continuing, receivers drop a lot of balls.
It's unfortunately still a thing, yes.
You know, they drop a lot of balls, so take it into your own hands and just run it for eight and slide and get down and move the chains.
Chewy said something ridiculous this morning. We dive into that coming up next. But if you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV, take the nearest exit to Ewald Automotive. For the 2025 model year clearance pricing, save over $14,000 or get 0% financing, all makes, all models over 720. 25's in stock with model year clearance pricing with the Ewald low price guarantee, which means they'll beat your lowest price on a new vehicle by $500 or they'll give you $500 cash guaranteed. It's only at the Ewald model year clearance sales event. When they're gone, they're gone. Start today at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's the one thing you say almost weekly here on the show?
Less eat.
Try again.
I don't know.
What's the one thing you've got?
Big boobs.
You've got time.
Oh, time.
You've got time.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
We got there.
Check off. I needed a few more hints.
Yeah. What? You put you in a... That's Gabe's fault.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Have you thought about it?
I really don't know what you're talking about.
What you said this morning. Have you thought about it? I'll give you a chance to retract what you said this morning in our pre-show meeting, and then you don't have to be embarrassed on the radio. I'll do that. I am willing to do that for you. If you want to retract, and then it's just, you know, me and Joshy know what you said, and then we won't embarrass you publicly on the radio.
About sleep?
Nope.
Does Josh know?
I think I do.
What did you declare over this morning?
Oh, it's done. Fry it. I say this every year.
You also declared it over after July 4th, too. Which makes it.
I wanted to, but I rethought my position. And look, when State Fair is done, the summer's over. It's done. You got to start transitioning to football, kids back to school.
It is going to be 90 degrees on Saturday. What do you mean summer is over?
Done. You got to, kids are already going back. You got to get into that mindset. The sun doesn't come up now till like 6:30. It's dark.
Sunrise was 5:55 this morning.
Let me tell you this. There was no sunrise this morning.
Well,
it was, there was. Well, there was no sunrise.
When you've got the storms and rain. Yes.
Yes. No, it's done.
Is this you just wanted to
I'm
go back
I'm not a hanger-oner. I'm always moving. I'm moving forward. Okay?
You've hung on to your previous, not even the football life, the tobacco fields.
Yeah, like you farming is coming. Like, there's no more. Corn is on the back end. That's reeks of summer.
What I'm saying is you hearken back to the olden days more than anyone I know.
Look, you know my motto is,
Which one?
Yeah.
When it's over, it's over.
Yeah, when it's done, it's
you
done.
Guys yep. just are hanger-oner.
No, because summer's not over.
I get so much joy when I go to the lake house the first week of September and start putting everything away. My neighbors, I just love the anger in their eyes when they look out. It's done. Done. But now, the boat stays in because, you know, the fall boat ride is very nice, but you're not swimming in the lake anymore.
Have you ever evaluated how much joy you get in ruining other people's time and what that says?
I don't think it's my fault.
Hey, he's a shorten farter.
I've always been, but that's because of the Packers. They taught you to be that way.
Really?
Yeah. What? They want you to be miserable.
This is the first time I have heard that the Packers taught you to be miserable?
Yes.
You're telling me you were a happy-go-lucky guy until you got into the NFL.
I just wish you guys could spend a week in the locker room. Just a week. Just to see all the you-know-what and moaning and this that.
Look, I believe that that happens, but I also believe that, and maybe this is just the way you have to be in order to play football. I don't think you were some happy-go-lucky kid that arrived in Green Bay in 1992 and had your joy stolen from you.
I was the happiest player in the locker room.
No. I also think
you were the No. And I was happy because everyone else was miserable, and I love just telling, having guys just shut up. Hey! Don't count the days. Let's make the days count.
Yeah, you liked poking people.
Shut up, Chimera. Just shut up.
Yeah, and that brought you joy.
Yeah.
Again, that's the same thing. That's the exact. I don't know if you've realized this. That's the same thing as the neighbors giving you the looks as you're packing up all your summer things out at the lake house.
Yes.
It's the exact same
but
thing.
But you see why I blame them to the north.
Like, no.
When you, do you have anyone you golf with that tries to bring your game down?
I don't think anybody actively tries to bring my game down, no.
Why? If you're playing for money, I don't want you to win.
Well, yeah, but like, I think most people are just worried about playing their own game and trying to win that way.
I also, and this might be the first time I've said this, I think what you think about the locker room happens literally everywhere else in jobs. People complain about their jobs 24/7.
You think so?
Yeah.
Put it on the poll. Put it on the poll.
Do you like to complain about your
job? No. I am bubbles when I show up here.
Excuse me?
I'm bubbly.
Now you're lying.
What about a Monday?
No one likes a Monday. I'm most times bubbly. I am bubbly.
Bubbly?
Yes.
There's a lot of words to describe you, and bubbly's not top 5,000.
Are some days you positive? Yes. At no point would I say, oh yeah, Chewy.
Like,
I've never went home. And when my wife goes, hey, how was work today? Oh, you know, Chewy was his bubbly usual self. Like, that's never.
Like, does it bother me that Josh already won his bet? Yes. Yes, it does. Because I don't want him to win.
I'm a sure.
Misery burn. Loves company.
Yes.
Yes. Call me Bubbles. That's my new nickname.
All right. More of Jen, Gabe, and Bubbles in 2 minutes.